Well, good evening. It's good to see everyone out and ready to worship our Lord, an honor and a privilege to be here. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, and that is where we're going to be spending our time this evening. If you're able tomorrow, I invite you to come over to the house and to 7 o'clock and study the Gospel of Matthew with us. We'll be in Matthew chapter 4. So look forward to seeing you then. Matthew chapter 4. Urge you to come there. In the Gospel of Mark, it is the shortest gospel that is written, only 16 chapters. And in this particular gospel, Jesus, things happen very quickly and very condensedly. And Jesus is often depicted as teaching. And throughout the Gospel of Mark, Mark puts a great emphasis on the teaching of John, Jesus, and the disciples. About 25 times throughout the Gospel, it emphasizes someone teaching. It begins by John the Baptist teaching in John chapter 1. It goes into Jesus teaching in Mark chapter 1. And then the disciples are chosen in order to teach. And then the book closes by Jesus' command to teach. It is an often repeated, often called upon, focused upon thing in the book of Mark. For example, look down in Mark chapter 1. John the Baptist begins preaching. And what is his message? Mark 1 in verse 4. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. This man's job is to prepare the way for the Lord. And so he comes preaching and commanding a baptism that leads to, that causes forgiveness of sins and preaches baptism in verse 4. His message is summed up in chapter 1 in verse 7. In 1 in verse 7 it says, "And he was preaching and saying, after me one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandal. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In the Gospel of Mark, while other Gospels depict John doing different things and preaching in different ways, the sole focus of Mark's gospel is that John comes preaching, simply preparing the way for the Lord. And the only words that are put into his mouth in verse 7 is, "Look at this one who's coming after me. Be paying attention to him. Listen to the things that he tells you. Pay attention to him." And so in verses 7 through 8, he's simply pointing the way unto Jesus. His teaching is entirely focused simply on Jesus. And when Jesus appears on the scene in the following verse and is baptized, he quickly begins to teach as well. Look over in 1 in verse 38. In 1 in verse 38, now this is not a unique statement to the Gospel of Mark, nor a unique statement for Jesus to make about reasons that he comes. But according to Mark 1 in verse 38, he emphasizes reasons that he came. And in 1 in verse 38, what does he say? They come up, he's been praying, and they come up to him. And they tell him that everyone is looking for you in verse 37. In verse 38, Jesus says, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also. For this is what I have come for." John comes preaching a message. Look forward to Jesus. Listen to his message. Pay attention to this guy. Jesus comes and he says, "The reason I have come is to preach." Other statements like that are made throughout the Gospels. He comes to suffer. He comes to die on behalf of people. Mark 10 and verse 45. But he says one of the reasons he has come is in order to teach and in order to preach. And thus throughout the Gospel, Jesus is often depicted in preaching. Look down, for example, in 1 in verse 21. 1 in verse 21. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue, and he began to teach. Turn over to chapter 4. Chapter 4. In verses 1 and 2, he began to teach again by the sea. And such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, saying to them in his teaching. And then it begins talking about the parable of the sower. In chapter 6 and verse 6, Jesus travels into all of the villages. Why? In order to teach them. In chapter 12, in verse 35, Jesus goes, journeys to Jerusalem. He enters the temple, and what does he do there? He teaches in the temple. The public nature of his teaching was so obvious that when they came to arrest him in chapter 14, in verse 49, he said, "I was with you every day teaching you in the courts. Why didn't you arrest me then?" But this had to be this way in order to fulfill the scriptures and the prophets. Jesus is often pictured as teaching publicly. And oftentimes, the crowds are pictured as enjoying Jesus' teaching. In chapter 1, in verse 22, they like to listen to Jesus teach. Why? Because he teaches as one with authority. In chapter 11, in verse 18, Jesus has just cleansed the temple, and the religious leaders want to do away with it. Why don't they? In verse 11 and verse 18, because they know other people like his teaching. Jesus is a popular figure that draws a lot of attention. But what is it that Jesus is preaching and teaching? Let's turn back to Mark 1. Jesus has come into the world in order to teach, in order to preach. What does he teach and preach? In his earthly ministry, what is his focus? Look down in 1 and verse 14. Mark 1 and verse 14. Again, things are happening quickly in the Gospel of Mark. John has already been put in custody. It's time for Jesus to begin preaching. In 1 and verse 14, "Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Jesus comes on the scene, and right off the bat, right after he comes back from being tempted in the wilderness in verses 12 through 13, he is teaching. So what is his message? He teaches about the gospel of God. What does gospel mean? Gospel simply means good news. He is telling the people the good news about God. When Jesus comes to preach and teach, he wants people to know, right off the bat, the good news about following God. Following God shouldn't be a burden. 1 John 5 and verse 3, following God shouldn't be something that is like an ankle weight that drags us down, that we don't enjoy doing. This is good news about following our Savior. And in verse 15, his message is summed up by saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand." So what should we do? We've heard the message of the preaching, we've heard the message of the gospel of God, the good news of God. So what should we do in verse 15? We should repent and we should believe in the good news. Jesus comes preaching and teaching, bearing the same message that John has borne. Repent from your sins and turn your eyes toward God and follow him. Turn over to chapter 4 and verse 33. Jesus preaches on the good news of the gospel. In chapter 4 and verse 33, what else does Jesus focus on? This is after a long section of Jesus' parables, and it says this in verse 33, with many such parables, he was speaking the word to them so far as they were able to hear it. And he did not speak to them without a parable, but he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples. Mark 4 and verse 33, as he goes out and the crowds come to him and he gains popularity, what does he use his popularity for? What is he preaching about? He simply preaches God's word. That's all he's preaching. His focus is on the good news about God, encouraging people to repent and turn from their sin, and clinging simply to the word of God. What else does Jesus teach about? Turn over to chapter 8 and verse 31. We're going to read these two back to back. 8 and verse 31, then 9 and verse 31. Start at 8 and verse 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Look over in chapter 9 in verse 31. I hope you're following along carefully in your Bibles. 9 and verse 31. For he was teaching his disciples and telling them, the Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he has been killed, he will rise 3 days later. But they did not understand this statement, and they were afraid to ask him. What does Jesus privately with his disciples speak with them about? What is he interested in telling them and teaching them? He's interested in telling them about his suffering. That's another reason he comes, according to Mark 10 and verse 45. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be handed over. That's not going to be the end of the story. He teaches also about his resurrection in each of these cases. What does Jesus teach about the gospel? He teaches about the good news of God. He teaches us about the word of God. And he teaches us about a suffering Savior. All of those things. Things that we simply need to be focused on in our teaching and our preaching. Is our teaching focused upon the good news of God? Is our teaching grounded in the Scriptures? Are we declaring, as 1 Corinthians 1 has told us to, the suffering Savior, the foolishness of the cross? Are we focused on those things? Or are we wanting to change our message to better suit the needs and the desires that the world tells us are out there? Jesus comes preaching and teaching these certain things. May we replicate those things in our preaching and in our teaching. Jesus puts great importance on his teaching as well. Turning your Bibles back to Mark 2. I want to illustrate this with two different accounts in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus wants there to be a focus. I mean, again, he's preaching God's word. He wants there to be a focus on these things. In Mark 2, in verse 2, there's a large crowd that's gathered around. And so what is he doing in verse 2? Many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them. Again, he's simply preaching God's word here in chapter 2 and verse 2. And then in verse 3, what happens? A paralytic man comes, he doesn't come up, but he's carried by four of his friends who bring him in, lower him through the roof, and Jesus heals this particular man and also forgives him of his sins, proving that he is also the Son of God, having both the power to heal and the power to forgive sins. In verse 12, after this miracle is done, the end result is that people are glorifying God. So you can expect, if there's a miracle worker and a man healing people of these horrible diseases, you can expect that his popularity is going to grow, right? So in verse 13, all the people are coming to him. Here's a great time to put on a show, right? Here's a great time to do a bunch of miracles to impress people. What does Jesus do when his following increases? Verse 13, he went out again by the seashore, and all the people were coming to him, and he was teaching them. That's his focus. That's what he's come for. So as his popularity increases, he focuses not necessarily on the physical healing of people, although he does do that. He puts his emphasis on teaching people God's word. And in verse 14, he calls more people to follow him. Listening to the words of Jesus should lead us to be diligent followers of our Lord. Mark chapter 6. Right off the bat, you may not recognize what this passage is about, but I know you know it. The feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle of Jesus outside of the resurrection that appears in all four Gospels. In Mark chapter 6, in verse 34, Jesus is trying to get alone here, trying to get away from the crowds. He goes in verse 32 to a secluded place. But the people follow him in verse 33. So what's it say in verse 34? When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Jesus has withdrawn from people here in chapter 6 because he wants to be alone. Other gospel accounts, like the Gospel of Matthew, tells us it's right after he's heard the news about John the Baptist. So he wants to be alone for a while. He's trying to get alone. He can't get alone. All of these crowds are around. That would be frustrating if it's me. But Jesus looks at this large crowd and he feels compassion on them. He's not frustrated with them. And he responds to the crowd in verse 34 with a desire to teach them. He doesn't say, you know, now's really not a good time. I need to be alone for a while. Why don't y'all go and come back another time? He takes the opportunity. He looks at them. He feels compassion for them. He wants to teach them right then. Next verse, disciples come up to him and say, it's late. Why don't you send them away so they can get some food? And then he feeds them physical food. Jesus did not, intention here was not to bring them out into the wilderness to impress them with his ability to provide food in a desolate place. Jesus' focus was not on the physical miracle that sometimes we focus on. Jesus' focus with the crowds was he wanted to teach them about God. And that's the first and the most important thing he does. What do people need? Do people need physical care? Do people need medical care? Do people need food to live and to eat? Absolutely. We need all of those things. But those things are not the number one thing that we need. The number one thing that we need is to be taught the Word of God. And that was Jesus' focus with the crowds. And at any and every opportunity, he took that opportunity to teach them. And it wasn't just Jesus. Turn back to Mark chapter 3. I keep wanting to say John. I'm sorry. Mark 3. Mark chapter 3. Jesus placed great importance upon teaching, but he wasn't the only one. Jesus did not simply view his mission as a lone wolf going out and teaching these people who were in need of hearing God's word. He wanted to cause others to do the same. In Mark chapter 3, in verse 13, this is where he calls his disciples. In verse 13, he went up on the mountain and summoned those whom he himself wanted, and they came to him. So this is the 12 disciples who are going to be with Jesus. Verse 14, he appointed the 12. Why? So that they could be with him and that he could send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out demons. Jesus not only goes out and teaches himself, he sends the disciples to go out and be teaching. Well, in Mark chapter 6, what does a message from the disciples look like? In Mark chapter 6, in verse 12, they are sent out at the instruction of Jesus. They're sent out in verse 12. They went out and they preached that men should repent. And they were casting out demons and anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. They go out and they do just as Jesus has done. They preach. And what's their message? Repent. The exact same message that Jesus preached in Mark chapter 1 in verse 15. Jesus goes out preaching and teaching the crowd. But he also sends his disciples out preaching and teaching the crowd. And he sends them out with the same message of the Word of God and repentance that he himself preached. And as the book closes in Mark 16, after the resurrection of Jesus in Mark 16, is it of any surprise what Jesus' message is to the disciples? Mark chapter 16 in verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. What have they seen Jesus do in his earthly life? They have seen him go throughout the land teaching and preaching the simple message of the good news of God. Now, he tells them, you go throughout all of the land preaching and teaching the simple message, notice, of the gospel to all creation. Jesus came in John 1 and verse 14 proclaiming the gospel. Now he sends his disciples out in 16 and verse 15 proclaiming the gospel. John's message in chapter 1 in verse 4 and in verse 7 was a message pointing toward Jesus. Look to him who was coming. The disciples' teaching and our teaching is of one look back to Jesus. He was the chosen one. He was the one who forgave us of our sins. And just as Jesus went preaching and teaching to all, so we are called to do the same. The mission of Jesus is our mission as well. Bow with me, please. O Lord God of heaven and earth, you are Lord of lords and you are King of kings. You are the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. O Lord, we thank you for the example that Jesus has given to us. We thank you for his simple message that he took preaching. We thank you for his willingness to die on our behalf. We thank you for such a wonderful Savior. Lord, we ask that you give us the courage and the wisdom to simply preach your word and to share your message with all of creation. Guide us and bless us, O Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Song of invitation this evening is number 300. And it's 69, number 369.
If there are any in the audience who need to make their life right with the Lord, now is the time to do it.
If we can help in any way, we urge you to come forward as we stand and sing.